We're back.
Well, I'm back, actually.
How long has it been?
It's been a while, babe. Since we've been in the studio, since before, Bismillah, Saudi Arabia. We went to Jeddah on the 18th of August. Right? August, yeah.
So it's been like a month.
Yeah.
Or less than a month.
Yeah.
But we're getting back into it.
Yeah. And I'm late on delivering because I was very sick. We shan't go into details, but I was feeling really, really unwell. And it took me a while to recover, so here we are.
It takes the best of us, man.
Okay. Sure. Okay.
Okay, no, honestly, so like, to really get into it. And get into it we shall, but thank you for having me. It's been ages.
Babe. Every time with the formalities, you're fine.
It has to be, man.
Fine, you're welcome.
This is the way it is. But honestly, honest to God, I'm really excited to be here.
Me too. I love being here with you.
I feel like every time we meet to film a podcast episode, just so much happens in between.
I think, babe, it's because, like, bismillah, owning a business and running a business, and then we see each other every day because we work together, obviously. A lot happens. A lot, especially with traveling, and then also you went on vacation, and now we're going into Q4. Like, alhamdulillah.
It's alhamdulillah.
Chaos in the best of ways.
So we have a lot of beautiful topics today mm-hmm. that we're going to discuss.
Before we discuss, my dad has a guest in town who's only here for 3 or 4 days, and that's why he's not here today. But also, let me know what you guys think, but we're thinking of doing more content. So I was thinking to start doing 2 videos a week, if possible. One with my dad and one with Afaf, because I feel the people love you all. So let me know what you guys think in the comments. That'd be great.
Let me know if you guys want me back, you know?
Oh, no, they do. I've already read that.
No, it's my absolute pleasure. And definitely, there's just so much going on and so much we want to touch base on. And I think what's cool is that we have like a little secret project going on. We're not going to reveal, but like we want to start addressing comments.
Oh, yeah. Addressing comments is going to be funny, but yeah.
Let's just start with a warm up.
Okay,
cool. And then we'll get into it because we know, honestly, like you have expressed your views very bluntly, which I love, and which is why we're here today and why we're thriving. But like there's just a couple of, you know, refreshers that we want to go through with.
Okay.
I'm going to start with a quote. This is very weird, but you know, I just kind of want to open our, you know, minds a little bit.
Okay.
So let me start with a quote. And it's your favorite topic, victim. Okay. Okay. And then we'll get into the questions.
Okay.
He who blames others has a long way to go on his journey. He who blames himself is halfway there. He who blames no one has arrived.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I mean, it's a really deep, deep quote, and I can't negate it because it's entirely true. But it's the ultimate mastery of your mind. You know what I mean? Because there's no blame to instill on anyone. There is maktub, and it's hikmat rabna, and it's also where the quantum physics in that world comes in, which is like, especially if you believe in God and he's an omnipotent power, I think I said that word right. Everything that has happened is happening and is going to happen, he already knows, which means they've already happened. You know what I mean? So when you really understand that concept, the idea of blaming yourself or blaming others for any occurrence or any mishap or any thing that transpires in life is redundant, it's moot, it's useless, because what has happened, what is happening and will happen has already happened. So this is where it's a complete surrender to Allah and what is required to take place in your limited time in this dunya. But that's a whole different level to aspire to. So yeah, that's beautiful. Before that, I would rather blame myself than others for anything. Before that, as an initial step to maybe try to get there. Because once you're so comfortable blaming yourself, you're not really blaming yourself, you know? It starts at first of, you could be a little harsh on yourself, like, Layla, you're so stupid, why did you do that, you know? But I think that's necessary when it comes to growth, because You know, the rumor that around the block is women don't know how to take accountability. And I take a look at some of the comments on my videos, and it really makes me sad for women. And I understand why there's a rumor going around that we lack accountability and we don't know how to take ownership of our actions and our decisions. It's made very clear to me. That being said, I also take it with a grain of salt because I don't want to judge an entire species of women based on a few comments that I receive. That's barely a grain of sand in a sea, a beach of beautiful women, you know? But once you start taking accountability and blaming yourself, you kind of realize it's not that serious. You know what I mean? And there's so much growth that comes with that freedom. But anyway, that's just my two cents on it.
Absolutely. Honestly, it's a beautiful Chinese proverb, by the way, what I just read. But I completely agree with you. I think honestly, the question of the topic is accountability. And accountability, not many people take it. And, but can you just give us a few examples based on your personal experience or your knowledge on what are things women, and by the way, even men, go ahead, what are things that men and women don't take accountability on?
You know, it's very interesting. If I'm harsh on women, it's because I'm a woman, so I want women to do better. There are men out there that are harsh on men and want men to do better. That's great for them. But it's, from what I've seen, at least on our side of the world, I don't see a lot of female role models that are out there really talking to girls, breaking it down for them, you know? So if I tell women, yeah, you kind of suck at taking accountability, I'm not being a pick me and I'm not attacking you, maybe it's because I want you to do better. Maybe it's because I want women to do better because I think we're awesome. Do you know what I mean? And it's crazy to me that we're in such a sensitive world where I even need to justify, yo, I'm not a self-hating woman and I don't hate women. Like, that's crazy to me that that's even where we're at. But I've reached the point, which is why I'm unapologetic with the way I speak. It's, I'm not gonna first apologize for what I'm saying before I say it. So y'all, you know what I mean? So I'm not even gonna go down that rabbit hole because it's literally a rabbit hole. You know, you find yourself then apologizing for everything before you've even made your point, which is just crazy. But yeah, for women, we don't take accountability, babe, with everything. I'll give you the biggest example that I've seen of this recently, okay? Call Her Daddy, the podcast. She does segments where she's talking to guests, and then there's parts where it's just her on a couch facing the camera. I've never seen the her on a couch facing the camera full episode. Never. I've seen clips. So there was a clip that popped up about, I might butcher this, so I'm loosely quoting the story here. I might be wrong on the details. But there's a part where the girl from Call Her Daddy is talking about how she was in Paris, and she had known a guy and they'd only spoken online, and then they decided, like, let's meet up. And they'd never seen each other in person, right? So they met up, in France, in Paris, if I'm not mistaken. And she ended up staying at his place. Babe, it's the first time she meets this guy. Fine. You might be young, wild, thriving, free. Okay, we're gonna let that go. She says that there was no chemistry, there was no whatever. She gets to his house and she's so uncomfortable, but she still ends up staying and sleeping with him, and she catches an STI or something. So what does that story tell you? Honest to God, do you know what it tells me? Even then, being a free, independent, boss-ass babe, you made the wrong decision. You were uncomfortable and you couldn't man up, for lack of a better word, and exit from that situation. What you needed was for the man to man up and be like, listen, babe, it's clearly we're not vibing and it's not working out. I'm going to call you an Uber. I'm going to book you a hotel. It was lovely meeting you. I wish you the best. You're a great girl. This isn't working out. But he's not going to do that. Men aren't going to do that. He has the opportunity to smash. So in this case, who do you blame? But when she was speaking, she was blaming the man. So who do you blame in this case, the man or the woman? It's your fault. So you want the boss ass babe, but you want no accountability for what transpires. It makes no sense to me. And don't get me wrong, what you went through was horrendous. And more often than not, a lot of girls go through that. But whose fault is it? This is why throughout history, we've protected women and wanted to shelter them and not. And I get it, you might tell me the extreme of, yeah, but they don't let them get an education and go out. Stop throwing extremes my way. That's not what we're talking. We're trying to make our day-to-day better. Extremes don't fit in these conversations. But this is why women are sheltered and we're protected, because throughout history, it is known that we are timid. We're very demure, very mindful. You're not going to be able to sit there 9 times out of 10 you won't, and tell the dude, yo, this, we're not meshing, something's not working here, and I need to leave. Lo and behold, how many stories have you heard like this? So no accountability. They want the fancy titles of independence. I travel where I want. Boss ass B. I do what I want. I'll sleep with whoever I want. It's my life, my body, my decisions. Okay, well, your decisions suck. You've reaped the worst rewards. Who made this negotiation on our behalf? I want to speak to the first woman who was like, yeah, this is what we're going to do. Okay? We're going to work. We're going to pay as much as men. We're going to sleep with them. That's really going to hurt them. That's going to hurt their ego. And expect nothing in return. We got the short end of the stick. I swear to God. Lose my mind. Sorry, I went on a rant. But we got the short end of the stick.
I honestly agree. And I think...
But tell me honestly with that call her daddy story. Do you get what I'm saying?
No. Yeah. You know what?
It's horrible. We're not negating what happened to her is horrible.
It is horrible. But to be honest with you is that she put herself in that situation.
Yes.
She allowed herself to be in that situation longer than she should have.
Yeah.
For me as a woman, the minute I feel uncomfortable, I don't go ahead. I don't do it. And you know this, and I know this about you, is that why should I stay in a situation that is uncomfortable, that you know what I mean? It just does not make sense.
Absolutely. But I think it comes with age. I am much more confident now and can remove myself from a situation unapologetically. If I feel threatened, uncomfortable, even if I just feel this is low vibration, this is taking from my energy, it's gonna hinder my growth and my progress. Even then, I'm very comfortable just being like, yeah, I'm done, bounce. But at 16, I wasn't. At 20, I wasn't. At 21, I wasn't. So then it becomes the double-edged sword of, okay, how much freedom do you give a woman without it hurting her? Because we do hurt ourselves when we're young and we're foolish and we're stupid. We do put ourselves in very horrible situations where we're like, I could have lived without that. And then now it's kind of the balm that we put on the wound when we're like, if I didn't go through that, I wouldn't have known and I wouldn't be who I am today. That's fine and dandy. But there are some situations that are very hard to come back from. She could have been sexually assaulted, as many women have. You know, so there is that fine line of how far does freedom go?
You know, I think women are very intuitive, and we are. We do have that sense of intuition that men don't have.
I agree.
And I think the problem is that a lot of women ignore that intuition, you know? And I think that's the problem. And you know what I noticed is that, now again, I don't know every single woman or lady here in the planet, but a lot of women that I've encountered or have conversations with is, it's sad, but a lot of women cling to attention. Babe, and it's the wrong attention.
It's the worst kind of attention. Of course, I agree. Just to go back on the gut feeling, you know, the intuition. I've said this in a reel before, but when I first started, before I even started posting full episodes, so I'm going to go into this in detail now, because I get this question more than you can imagine in my DMs, like emails, hatta, you know, the difference between a gut feeling and anxiety is your gut feeling is the first thought, your female intuition that comes with extreme clarity. It just comes with this clarity that's undeniable. Anything that comes after, especially that's negating that initial thing, that comes like a machine gun attacking it, no, but this, if, that, and no, that's anxiety. But your gut feeling is, and this is why we say intuition and gut feeling, but that is the main difference for you to decipher between both. In a nutshell, that is what it is. And I would urge anyone to try to fine-tune that. The more you recognize it and are aware of it and catch it, the easier it is to become to recognize what it is in the future. And it is a tool that is life-saving. And it's important to have. But you can't have it if you're so busy being wrapped up in a cluster tornado of anxiety, depression, panic, and people pleasing. It's a battle you will lose every time. So that was important to just specify.
Just to kind of, I completely agree with what you said. And for me, I think depression is a big topic on your podcast. And it...
But wait, before yeah. the depression, you were saying gut feeling anxiety, and then you asked me something. About, well, women and attention. You made that point. Like, so we don't forget it. Yeah. Depression, honestly, the attention seeking, the depression, the anxiety, to me, babe, it's the same. They're all cut from the same cloth. They all belong on the same chessboard. Whatever you want to say, they're one and the same.
I agree. I think depression and anxiety are signals that you need to change something in your life. I think it's a warning. It's a signal that something needs to change within you.
I agree fully. I will add something, and this is the most empathetic and nice you will ever catch me on this podcast.
Ooh.
Ever, okay? After having been as sick as I've just been, 2 months before that, my body started shutting down. I was exhausted. I was, yashadullah, I've said it on this podcast, excuse me. I was struggling to sleep. I was insomniac, my eating habits. There was a chemical imbalance, which is, I understand a lot of people during my comments will come and say, but someone who's going through depression and a chemical imbalance, I get it. It doesn't negate the fact that something needed to be changed. And it is only when something changed that my body rebalanced and I feel more vibrant, healthier, more feminine, more ready to take on the day than I've ever been. So what people seem to always want to not understand is two things can be true at once. There could be an imbalance, but it's also something in your control that you could change. Does that make sense?
Absolutely makes sense.
This is the nicest you'll find me on this podcast.
No, it absolutely makes sense. For me, how I interpret anxiety and depression is obviously it is a chemical imbalance in our brain, right? In our body, right? But it's a warning, spiritual-wise, mind-wise, it is a warning signal to change, to make a change.
Yeah. Not to be like a dude, but do you know when your tire pressure sign goes on in your car? I swear. Do you know when it's just you need to abbi mai, you need to fill water so you can windshield swoosh, 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 swoosh. It's so stupid, but it's literally that when you start to feel anxious or depressed or sad for no significant reason, actually even with a reason. Sometimes little things happen and they catapult you into an extreme state of depression where the reaction significantly outweighs what had transpired to begin with. That is, I agree with you entirely. And a sign that something needs to be altered, something needs to be changed. It's just an alarm. It's the way God designed your body. It's very new, by the way, that we treat the body, the mind, and the soul separately, as if they aren't part of the same machine, as if one could survive without the other. As if you could take your heart and it's an organ that can survive on its own. That is, it's a very new demonic thing. So even mentally depression, and then your body starting to shut down, or you're feeling lethargic, or sluggish, it's all working together very cohesively. That's your conscience. That's your consciousness. That's all of it together. Just telling you, bro, wake up. Something needs to be changed. Absolutely. And you take that as, oh, I'm depressed. I'm going to go pop pills. It blows my mind. Chemical imbalance or not, there are so many ways you can go about fixing and bettering your life. You just have to go Google the miraculous cases all around the world.
You know, a lot of my friends are on medication for depression, right?
Bro.
I know, hear me out. So hear me out. I'm going to get to a nice rainbow here. A lot of my friends, they've been on medication for depression.
Tamam.
The happiest thing one of the happiest things I hear that like makes me super happy is when they're like, I'm off the medication. I don't need it anymore. Yeah. And I love that.
Of course.
I love that. That makes me the happiest, to not be reliant on, the pharma industry.
Screw big pharma. I've said this my whole life. I don't believe in big pharma. I think everything they ever do is a hoax and just try to get money out of you. And this is known. This isn't new, especially, alhamdulillah, with social media and independent podcasts and journalism. People are really waking up to this truth. And it's amazing. With antidepressant medication, especially Xanax. You know, Xanax and alcohol are two of the most addictive substances. I think Joe Rogan spoke about this briefly, so I'm not going to go into mega detail because I'm not qualified enough. But they're in a nutshell, what he said is they're two of the most addictive substances. And once you're addicted, as in even DNA-wise, body-wise, whatever, you're addicted, you're hooked, you go through withdrawal symptoms, both of them kill you trying to get off of them. You die trying to get off of Xanax. That's insane.
Yeah, it causes suicide thoughts.
And they push it like it's mlabbas aloz, like it's candy. And you expect me to sit here and tell you, no, but people with depression, they it makes sense that they resort to pills. No, it doesn't. As if, like, do you know what that says to me on a Muslim podcast? Is that God designed you wrong, as if you're born with something wrong with you. That's insane. And you know what? Even if you were, is that not done by design? People need to wake up to these questions. They really need to be asking themselves these questions. Now more than ever. And actually, now that we're discussing this, I do want to go into one thing, and I don't care the backlash that it gets. Fillers. Because I was thinking about this the other day. I don't understand where women did this to themselves. I really don't know when this happened. Of, you're not allowed to talk about a girl's plastic surgery or fillers or the fact that they all look like ducks right out of the same factory, like lined up, you know? And we're not allowed to say anything about that anymore. I'm, as a woman, not allowed to point that out because then I'm a pick me and I hate women. But I'm a girl's girl if I let you look ugly, if I let you look unnatural. The symmetry of your face is off and the human eye catches that like this and you look odd, you look out of place. Now, mind you, a study came out now that fillers, it's not even a study, this is a fact, by the way, you guys can go Google this. Fillers don't dissolve over time. That is a lie that they sold you. Fillers migrate and expand over time. This is a fact. They did an MRI or a scan on someone. Babe, if you see what the fillers look like, that's why now you have the pillow face and the puff face and the whatever. This is a fact. And now if you point this out, you hate women. No, I love you. Go look decent. Look human. You look like an alien. And I'm supposed to say, bravo, it's all in the name of women empowerment. If this is women empowerment, I want nothing to do with it. I would rather tell you, you look insane. You look insane.
I agree. Honestly, it's getting out of hand.
Babe, it's not just getting out of hand. It is out of hand. It's ridiculous. No one needs that. No one needs that.
You know the show Love Island?
Yeah. I've never seen it, though. I've seen, like, clips.
But you know what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very popular. It's very global, actually. So the average age range...
I have a sticker here. Cutie.
It's a new shirt. So the average age range of the contestants on Love Island is young. Between 22 to young, 30. Yeah, yeah. Young.
Babe, they look like they're in their 35
exactly.
plus.
Exactly. I was shocked when because, you know, when someone is being interviewed, you know, they have the
testimonials?
Name. Yeah, the testimonials.
And the name and
the
age.
They have the
yeah,
name
yeah.
and the age. I was shocked. I'm like, this contestant looks older than I am. And I'm turning 32. I'm like, no way.
Babe, I understand. I'm sorry. It's not about just me sitting here going like, oh, I'm all natural. Alhamdulillah, I've never, never gotten a needle done. And by the grace of God, I hope I never have to. And I never want to. Never have to, because I think plastic surgeons and trauma surgeons, in cases of extreme emergencies, they save lives. They alter lives. It's beautiful. But it's a pastime now to go get fillers. Babe, that's insane. And I don't understand why this has become a thing that I, as a woman, cannot point it out. You look ridiculous. It's so horrible for you. It's medically horrible. It does not dissolve over time. What it does is it migrates and expands. It makes you look atrocious. It sags your skin. And if I point that out, then I'm not a girl's girl. Screw you. I don't care for your little sorority girl group. If it means you guys look like you came out of the same factory and I can't tell you, yo, you're screwing yourself over. Like, it's literally what you're doing. You're shooting yourself in the foot. But when did it become a thing that we can't point this out anymore? Live and let live, to each their own. Why? Why to each their own for you to go mess up so horribly? Because maybe you saw a Kardashian.
I have a good question in here.
Yeah. Why? I'm getting riled up about it because it makes me angry.
No. This is get riled up.
Angry for women. Babe, wallahi, I was in Jordan. Sorry, I'm going to interrupt you before your question. I was in Jordan and we went out for dinner, me and my high school friends. And I looked at one of my girlfriends and I was like, why does everyone look the same? And she was like, what do you mean? I'm like, just watch the girls. And then 15 minutes later, she looked at me. She's like, oh my goodness. They all look the same, babe. It's as if they went to a plastic surgeon and said, give me Angelina's lips. Give me Tinkerbell's nose. Give me this girl's eyebrow. They look the same, and it's odd, and it's not unique, and there's nothing beautiful about it. And the worst part about it is that it is detrimental to your health. I'll say it again. My fillers expand over time and migrate. They don't dissolve. It is a lie. And you end up looking 20 years older than you were meant to at such a young, delicate age. It's not mindful and it's not demure, and I will point it out.
So on this topic, why do you think women are doing this? Why do you think girls and women are doing this?
I will answer this question with a different story. And subhanAllah, my friend Juman, I'm going to give her a shout out. She told me something. She said, Layla, you have this beautiful way. God bless her soul. This girl saved my life in more ways than one. She's like, you have this beautiful way of sharing a story that has nothing to do with what we're talking about and then magically bringing it back to what we're talking about. And she's like, then it doesn't leave me. And which is why I try to do this, because when something clicks in your brain, you never forget it. Why women are doing this? I'll give you an example. I'm going to be very careful with the way I share this story because I don't want to disrespect someone's privacy. There is someone I know who had, and they claim this themselves, a beautiful childhood, parents that adore them, a sibling that adores them. Everything was given to them. They didn't have to go through hard times. And for all intents and purposes, had a beautiful life. Okay? And then they developed a mental illness. And when they were telling me the story, and they went on pills and whatever and whatever, and then they got off of it and now they're doing better. But when they were telling me the story, God knows I love this person, but I just have to say an objective standpoint, I supported her, listened to her, everything, you know, and I love the girl, khalas, I said it, nothing's changed. But what I understood from while she was speaking, just boredom. You were bored. You needed to find a purpose. You got a mental illness. You went to the doctor, took a few pills, and now all of a sudden the mental illness is gone and you're all... خلاص انتهى. And people, I've said this before, if you do not anchor yourself to God, you anchor yourself to the depravities of this dunya. And babe, this dunya is filled with starving creatures. You know in The Little Mermaid, Ursula, when she turns them into little shriveling, huh? This dunya is filled with that. And if you don't have an anchor, if you don't have a North Star, if you don't have a purpose, a goal, a reason why you live and breathe, what do you end up doing? What do you end up attracting? Who do you end up serving? This life, and you become a cog in this disgusting machine, and before you know it, yeah, you're filling up your space and your time and your soul with procedures like this insane trend of fillers that we're seeing and mental illnesses and they, them, and popping pills because you need to have a purpose. You need to have a story, something that makes you a main character in your miserable life. And I say it this harshly because people need to wake up to this reality. You don't need all of that. It's done by design on purpose to steer you so far away from God and spirituality to the point sometimes where there's no going back. When you need to start recognizing these patterns. Otherwise, you are a lost cause. نعم ما في إشي على ربنا كبير بس who's going to drag you back from the depths of hell if not you and your connection to God?
So I don't know if I necessarily... Again, this is just an example of a story you shared, which is boredom, right?
Yeah.
But I think maybe just based on my experience or conversations is I think one of the main reasons why women are getting these fillers, procedure, Botox, all of these surgeries, looking like they came out of the same factory, is because we are seeing men kind of like, and they're really attracted to this type of woman. So is your argument
that we do it for men? Because well, girls will come for you for that.
I'm not saying no.
I think some of them do. I think a lot, majority, I think most women live for men, and the fact that they deny it online is beyond
me. I agree, because now I'm not saying this is the main reason, but I'm saying from my experience and my conversations is that
they do it for men.
They do it for men because men are looking at these type of women, babe. You know what I mean? Now, I'm not saying that this is their ulterior or their ultimate reason, but
if this is why we do what we do, but sorry, I keep interrupting.
Go ahead. No, I'm actually good. I said my point.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
This is why we do what we do, because what you just said reinforces to me that women have no understanding of what a man likes and doesn't like. Have no understanding. You think because a guy gives a woman superficial attention that he would lock that down? You think because a guy went for the girl that looks like a bimbo who's done a million plastic surgeries and hasn't given you the time of day, that he takes her more seriously than you, that he's more attracted to her than you? He could be superficially more attracted to her, but that begs two questions. Number one, do you really understand how the male brain works? And then number two, why are you attracted to a man who is attracted to that? We always make it about the opposite, right? About them, he, her, them, they. Okay, well, you, why are you attracted to a man who is attracted to that? That's very important, because if you go and change something about your face because you've trapped yourself into this delusion, there's not much I can do to help you there. You need to get yourself out of it. But it begs those questions.
You know what blows my mind? I'm sure you noticed this, but there's always a trend with cosmetic procedures.
Of course.
So back then in the 2010s, it was big butt, big boobs, hourglass, blah, 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 right?
Come on.
So a lot of women, it was the Kardashian era. Let's put it at that.
J-Lo,
so
Kardashian era.
J-Lo, Kardashian, and Blac Chyna, la, la, la. And a lot of women, you know, the ideal body type was hourglass, big boobs, big butt. So a lot of, I know a few girls that actually injected fillers into their butt or got Brazilian butt lifts. Now we notice the trend of the 2020s, I would say, is super thin model. Like, you know, beginning 2000s era where it's like pretty much,
90s, you know? Yeah.
So I just think it's really wild. And now we're seeing, so basically now the Kardashians are looking super stick thin when they were the ones that kind
of... Ozempic is Ozempicking.
Yeah, Ozempic is Ozempicking. But it's, you agree with me, right?
I do, but you know, you said you don't necessarily know if you agree with me if it's boredom or not. I will go to my grave saying it's boredom. I think I can actually prove
But why my is it argument. Boredom? Because I don't
because
understand.
Because what did we say before? Maybe the word boredom threw you off, but I really want to simplify it and dumb it down that way to tell you it's literally just boredom, because there's no need to be so philosophical about it. It's literally just that. Remember when we had the panel with in Lulu and the Beanstalk, and I said, if you have enough time to be depressed and anxious, you have too much time on your hands. Go feed the poor. Go to an orphanage. Go visit the children's ward in hospital. Go cook with your grandma if she's still alive by the grace of God. Go read a book. There's so much more you could do than sit in the mirror and nitpick or sit in the bed and overthink something, right? You could. If you keep the brain is easy to trick in that sense. If you keep yourself busy with positive things, your brain isn't going to fight you. No, I need to be overthinking. I can't be reading this book right now, or I can't be helping at an orphanage. That's not how your brain works. It's the equivalent. It's boredom. And it's laziness. It's boredom.
Interesting.
Babe, it's you're bored. If you have time to sit there and go like, if only my nose was... No, بس هيك شوي. In this economy, you have time to nitpick about insecurities? Really? No, if you are depressed, anxious, going to a doctor and popping pills like they're mlabas aloes and getting fillers that make you look like a warped cyborg duck all coming out of the same factory, you have too much time on your hands. In this economy, you have time for all of this? How? Babe, explain it to me. What do you mean? Go read a book, bro. Honest, I'm not even joking. Go sit down and read a book.
I don't know if I agree with that, to be honest, but I honestly think... Well, we'll close this topic, but I honestly think it's really to get the male's attention. Because we as women are seeing guys ogling and liking these women's pictures that are so unrealistic, fake fillers.
Babe, with all due respect, the guys you're referring to mean nothing to us.
Of course. But, okay, then, but the majority of the guys are like this.
Then that's the girl. If girls are into men like that, that is on them. Listen to me. Okay? You as a woman... If you are interested in a man who is interested in a bimbo and wasting his time and you find that attractive and you're going around and changing things about yourself and getting super depressed, why doesn't he love me? That is on you if you are interested in that. Because that kind of guy means nothing to me. I wouldn't even give him a sideways glance. The kind of man I want, the kind of man that... I would even have a conversation with, is not liking some bimbo's pictures. So you coming back to me telling me, oh, because girls are seeing men like that, those aren't men. Those are boys with mommy issues and inferiority complexes. Yeah, shrimp.
I love that.
Okay? Those are the boys you see driving around in the big truck, you know, and going vroom, vroom. And you're like, oh, you have mommy issues and a small penis. Got it.
Ugh, I love you, Layla.
Okay,
honestly,
so that's how I'm ending this conversation.
We're ending the conversation, but I have a
that, or that topic.
By the
way, listen, actually, the boredom and stuff, I stand by that. But like I said, two things can be true at once. I fully agree with you. Actually, I want to get into this. One of my most hated videos is the part where I talked about the people, women rating themselves a 10 out of 10 is delusional to me. And the thousands of comments of girls coming up. Fight me. And they think, oh, I got one on you. Do you know what's so funny? Not one point in that video did I talk about a guy. I was talking about self-improvement. I was talking about me, myself, and I. My relationship with God. Leveling up in this dunya so that I can meet my God in my akhirah. Okay? And all the comments were talking about boys. And rating for boys. And women for boys. And then the men came to my defense saying, but when did she mention a man? So it's very telling that women are all consumed by men. And this whole behavior of I do it for myself, not for a dude, maybe 1 out of 10 times it's true. 1 out of 100. 9 out of 10, you're doing it for male attention. And you're lying to yourself if you're saying that's not the case. You are lying to yourself. And the proof is in the pudding. It's in how depressed you get when a guy doesn't text you back. It's in how your whole demeanor changes when a guy walks into a room. You think people are stupid? You think we don't notice this? Do you think we're stupid? Because the only idiot I see is that. That is the idiocy. But I'll leave it at that.
So I love it. And oh my God, so much to talk about. But
I agree with you. Do you know how many times I've seen a girl, like a guy walks in and suddenly she's like, you know, very aware of herself all of a sudden. Bro, what? Aha. Bro. What do you, and you think I'm, you honestly, do you think the people around you don't notice? Do you think we're stupid?
Can I share with you a nice story?
Of course you can.
I think the viewers will like this story because it honestly brings back to what you're saying.
Okay.
University and high school. I'm still friends with them, but we don't hang out as much, okay?
Tamam.
But we're a group of girls, all single, all of us.
Back then, yeah.
Back then. University, Afaf University high school days.
Yeah.
Still the same Afaf, crazy, loopy. But you know what? I'll say one thing and Layla knows this about me. I don't give a shit about male attention. And
yeah,
you
this is true.
Know this.
This is true.
You know me
no,
so
it's,
well.
It's crazy. It's actually insane how true it is.
I don't
give
a shit about male attention.
That's why we're such good friends.
Let's
high five. Give me a good one. Okay, go.
Okay. So you know, that's what I love about me and you. We don't give a shit about male attention, yeah, right? This is why we're...
I wasn't always like this. I will say that.
That's, you know what? Fine. Maybe at moments I did, but...
When I was young and stupid...
Let me put it this way. Our whole demeanor and existence never depended on it. This is true.
Tamam. Okay. There. Yeah.
So we're a group of girlfriends. And And, you know, every Friday, every Saturday, we'd...
A girls' night out and go out and party.
Girls' night out.
We took... Candace Owens says this. She always says, I took the most liberal route to conservatism. And I get it. That's in their case. But to me, I took the most open-minded road back to Islam, yeah?
I love that.
I took a very open-minded, chill, girls' night out road to Islam. So I'm very okay with saying that.
I love that. So, okay, group of girls going out. We'd pick bars, we'd pick clubs, all of that. So it's so funny because in a girl group, it just so happens that everyone is different and has different personalities,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's like the Powerpuff Girls.
So there's, you know, you have the girlfriend that wants to dress up, wants to look good for herself.
Come on.
And then you have the other girl that... probably has a shit time at work or is going through something and just wants to drink her heart and soul out and doesn't give a shit. And
yeah,
all
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Well, there's always each.
Yeah. And yeah. Then there's that girl, which we all know, babe. And everybody has it. Yep. Everybody that is dependent upon the male gaze and attention.
Oh, yeah.
We know that girl all too well.
Oh, my God.
So let me tell you something of my experiences and then you can get into yours because this is quite fun. Is that that friend... that is dependent upon the male attention and male gaze. So if it's so funny because let's say I get hit on or you get hit on in the group or somebody else gets hit on.
Oh, it's her worst nightmare.
It is her absolute worst nightmare. And
oh, it's her worst
nightmare. It's her worst nightmare. She's not good enough. She's not pretty enough. Why don't guys look at me? Why don't guys come up to me? And sometimes, by the way, mind you, once this actually happened, is that one guy went up to her, or maybe two guys, and then no guy went up to me or whoever it is, okay? And then she's like, oh, yeah, you know, two guys went up to me to this night. You know what I mean? Like, it becomes that kind of call.
Babe,
and
it's
so wild.
Babe, it's horrible. Babe, it's horrible. But it's the thing is, I'll tell you something about these girls that we knew in high school and university.
What are they called? What are they termed, these
histrionic
girls?
Histrionic.
It's okay, like what is a histrionic?
It's what they called Amber Heard.
What is a histrionic?
Histrionic is way more than that, by the way. It's way more than that, but it's basically a narcissistic girl who uses sexuality and actually, I'm butchering this. By the way, I'm saying this very loosely because it's a term like narcissism and bipolar. It's a psychological term, but they use sex to get ahead and they solve problems with sex and they fight with sex. It's a whole thing, okay? And sex doesn't necessarily have to be the intimate act of sex, babe. Read The Art of Seduction by Robert Greene. Sex is so many things. It's so many things. But yeah, I'll say one thing about those girls that we knew in high school and in university that were so dependent on male attention. It was their oxygen tank. They couldn't survive without it. And I'm sure a lot of people can testify to this. Seeing them now, 10, 15 years later, it gets worse with time, babe. Number one, they get worse with their approach. They're not even subtle anymore. Number two, their insecurities, if they were this big, they're a mammoth, a behemoth now. Number three, they attract, and this is the most important one, the worst, filthiest, greasiest, most despicable kind of, I don't even want to call them men, boys with mommy issues and, for lack of a better word, the most toxic masculinity and just disgusting. They ooze everything that is not a divine man, everything that I hate about men and about those kinds of men, excuse me. So I'm just going to leave it at that. If you have a girlfriend like that in your life, if you're in high school listening to this, drop her. Drop her. If you're in university listening to this, drop her. If come now and you're still talking to her, you know, your funeral. I don't talk to mine no more.
It's, you know, it's so funny.
And I never will. Yeah, sorry.
It's so funny as well because within that girl group, if that girl is upset because she didn't get any attention or if a guy didn't go up to her, she would be like, let's go home. Let's go home. I'm bored. Or just overall the mood would go down with her?
Yeah, of course. But can we just break down just the essence of that whole thing? To get dressed and to go out and to sit and to just wait for a guy to come talk to you. It's heartbreaking.
But it's... Honestly,
when you break it down like that, it's it's, I can sit here all high and mighty and say it's disgusting and it's whatever and it's whatever, but the truth of the matter is it's heartbreaking. It's so sad that that's what you have to do to feel something. And the thing is that something that you feel is very fleeting. It actually takes more away from you than it fills in your cup.
It is sad, to be honest, to live like this. But what's even more sad is to get your validation from the male gaze. Yeah, you know what course. I mean? Like, it's horrible.
It's horrible. It's they do it to themselves. We've reached the point where they do it to themselves. How do you snap out of this? You can't. If you ever told the girl, yo, you're dependent on the male gaze, or what do you... You become public enemy, number one. You're jealous. You just want them all to yourself. What's wrong with you? You're crazy. Don't even bother. Don't even bother. But I wanted to touch on something. I was thinking about this when I got sick. Because, you know, subhanAllah, when you're sick, you just kind of, you know, always like, God, please, Ashfini, please heal me and all that. And by the grace of God, alhamdulillah, we remember him even in our healthiest and best of times. You know, it's always alhamdulillah wa shukrulillah. And I was sitting there and I was thinking, and maybe this was just my fever talking, but it's crazy to me how, you know, sometimes people will tell you, I was praying to God, please, if you're there, do this for me. Or when things go wrong, it's always like, God, why me? Why do you keep doing this to me? You know? And I just had this sudden epiphany and the sudden realization that God has never swayed with me. He's never changed. He's never done me wrong. He's been very consistent with me. And if you want to look at the trajectory of my life, it is I who has been inconsistent. Inconsistent with my remembrance of him. Inconsistent with my prayer. Inconsistent with my thanks. His laws are set in stone. لَأَنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِدَنَّكُمْ. You know what I mean? إِسْعَيَ عَبْدِي وَبَسْعَ مَعَكُمْ. And time and time again, I prove to myself that when I'm committed to him and the closer I am to him, he shows me I've always been here. And when I stray and I go back, God, why did you leave me? He never did. It's entirely us. And I think people need to have that kind of realization that take accountability at all times. It is strictly always you and never him.
I love that. That's very beautiful.
Thanks, babes.
Well, honestly, I'm so happy you're back, babe.
Me too.
We thought we lost you, man.
Well, I thought I lost me. It was really, babe, it was choppy, rough waters for a hot minute there.
No, I'm so, it's good. Honestly, I really like this episode, I must say.
Me too, alhamdulillah.
I wanna read one more quote.
You do that, baby boo. You do what you want to do.
You know what's so funny? All of the notes that we actually discussed on how we want to do this podcast, like, none of it actually happened. But for next time, but like, what?
I know. Because can I tell you something? Every time we've tried to plan something and we end up being spontaneous, which is every time, it just works out.
Of course. It works out. I'm going to read this quote. And I want your input on it. Oh my gosh. I want your input on it. I always say like, okay. Go for it. Maybe you might know who wrote this quote. Actually, I'm going to challenge you.
Okay.
Maybe the journey isn't about becoming anything. Maybe it's about unbecoming everything that isn't really you, so that you can be who you were meant to be in the first place.
Wait, I have read this before.
Mm-hmm. I feel like you have. You want me to read it again?
No, I know it. It's the art of unlearning everything you've been taught. My dad and I say this all the time. Before you even attempt to learn something new, the goal is to unlearn everything you think you know. Because I know it's a hard realization to come to. I know I'm touching the softest parts of your egos, guys. But all of us, Yunan, together, sawa ma badina, okay, need to unlearn almost everything we've been taught. Because I hate to break it to everyone, almost everything we know is wrong. And it's not even, oh no, maybe no, a little, no, no, wrong. And it's done by design. And it's to make you sick mentally, physically, spiritually. And just look at halil alam al-yom. Heartbreaking.
It's a beautiful quote, huh?
Yeah.
Very beautiful.
Very. But that's the whole point of this podcast. Unlearn. So that you can make your day-to-day better.
You know? I love it.
Your day-to-day is 90% of your life.
That's true.
90% of your life is how you handle everyday little situations. It's those little decisions that you take. It's those little forks in the road. Do I go left or right? That's your day-to-day. And you let it pass you by. And before you know it, 29 years have gone by. But that's why we do this. Because if you master your day-to-day, oh, life is a breeze. Oh, life can be fun. You know, even with all the khara that happens. Because khara will happen, it will happen. This dunya is designed to test you. But you know what? It's fun. It's like, oh, someone's challenging to me today. How are we going to overcome this obstacle? Yalla, God, let's do it. It's fun.
I agree. Honestly, what you said is beautiful, by the way. And thanks. I agree, because this is actually something I was thinking about when I traveled to Greece and I took 2 weeks off. Is that...
Longest 2 weeks of my life, man. Longest 2 weeks of my life, Diego.
You know what the sad reality is that people are so fixated on... Now, I'm not saying planning and being goal-oriented is not important. Don't get this wrong. But I'm saying is that we as people are so fixated on the future and what's to come.
It's ridiculous.
Is that we forget to live now and to live day by day. And I'm sorry, I know probably maybe you might disagree with me, but there is absolutely nothing wrong with living day to day and enjoying the fullest of life.
There's nothing wrong with living day to day. I fully agree with you. And a lot of people will come and tell you, oh, that's you're coming from a place of privilege saying this. It has nothing to do with privilege. We're speaking here strictly of a mental capacity to let go and let God. Every day is a gift. I'm just going to be present. This idea of you need to plan for your future. By 18, you need to know what you're going to be in 10. It's done by design, again, to take you away from being connected to God and the universe and this beautiful creation that he's given us, right? You should live day to day. What do you mean plan? You know the quote. Do you want to make God laugh? Tell him your plans. Babe, what do you mean plan? What do you mean plan? You can have intentions. My intention is to... travel. My intention is to save up to buy a house. Intentions are beautiful, but intention without planning is actually your elixir for liquid gold. You know why? Because you have the intention and the unwavering faith and yaqeen that it will happen because you know God is the best of planners. So the intention without planning is actually the best thing you could do because it's good intention. It's good intention. And then you pay good attention to God. You know what I mean? Then the rest falls into place. But to plan and be anxious, and then my intention is turned to sour mold because I think I'm a better planner than God. The Lulu is the Salulu.
I love it.
Crazy, you know? But, and also, two more things I'm going to say. This, and then I want to end this episode with a quote. With the planning, have you ever noticed that people who plan so much and they're OCD about their planning and whatever, the drama, I don't know why I said drama like that, but it's the drama and the inhiyar and the meltdown when a plan doesn't go the way we want?
They're not those people, and I'll tell you something, because I had a friend, a very close friend till today, that was like that. And I'm like, it's fun for me, but you're stressing yourself out.
Yeah.
But I'm like...
And it's all mental.
How can you... You're not living the moment. No. You're not enjoying it. Where is the essence?
And if you don't live the moment and enjoy it, and you're panicking about what was and what is to be, what will be even worse. But people don't want to make this connection. No, that's not true, because things just happen to happen to us. No, every second you are currently living is a clear, direct conduit in what is to be your next moment. Non-negotiable law. Memorize this. Embed it, tattoo it on your forehead. If you master this, oh, what a happy life. Honestly, it could be great. It could be great. The potential of how great it could be is limitless. And I sound like a motivational speaker. But no, it's all you. It's all you. It's, I can't even, oh, but yeah, alhamdulillah.
What's the second thing?
I don't know. I shared a poem on Sheen's podcast, so I'm going to keep it to her, but I'm reading currently Dostoevsky. I actually don't know how to pronounce his name, but he has a quote, okay? And it says, it's not a quote, it's actually in the book that I'm reading. I found it in the book Demons. And it says, my friends, God is necessary for me, if only because he is the one being who can be loved eternally. And that hit me like a beautiful ton of bricks, because we are, I said this before, but we're always in God's heart, always, 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 always. And he is the one thing that can be loved eternally, that my love for entirely depends on me and not on him. My love for you can always depend on you and how you behave and the effect that you have on my life. But my love for God is eternal, because like I said before, it is only ever I who have changed with him. It is never he who has changed with me. It is always my inconsistency and my lack and my humanness that has altered what his image was in my brain. But his image is there.
And that's so beautiful. Yeah. God has never changed with me. I don't think us as humans, we can fathom or really understand
what God is,
how merciful he is,
and what he is.
Yes, of course, but you know, like, but the mercy, like, you know, like, oh my, you God, cannot, the
Rahman, for sure,
the you Rahim. Cannot, like, babe, it's wild, honestly, it is wild.
Yeah, but he is the one thing that I can love eternally. This is true. So I just wanted to end it on that note, because I thought it was beautiful.
Thank you for sharing that.
Thanks for listening.
What?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for listening. Oh. Anyway, I'm tired now. Khalas, are we done?
We are done.
Oh, perfect timing. Rimo Supremo. Sorry, guys, I'm talking to my editor, who is Safaf's sister. We've mentioned this before. But so inshallah, we're going to be filming more podcasts and doing more. Because I'm back. I went to my pole class this morning. I'm feeling energetic. I'm eating healthy. We're here. Q4. I'm ready to take it by the balls. But yeah, alhamdulillah. I love you, Foofs.
Love you too, Habibi. Thank you so much. Very nice episode.
Good episode. I feel great. I feel good about this.
You know, I must say, I do like the heated Layla.
Oh, yeah. I have to say one thing, though, because I promised my friend Ali I'd give him a shout out.
Who's Ali?
I'll tell you about him later. He's a friend. He's a really good friend. I'm not going to say his family name, because everyone's immediately going to know who I'm talking about. But my friend Ali told me something, and it's so simple. But sometimes the simplest things go unnoticed, and it's such a crime, if I'm being honest. And he just looked at me and he said, life is worth sharing. Bro, my mind was blown. Of course we know this. Mm. But with the conversation that we were having, it just hit me. Babe, life, this life, and all of its beauties and atrocities and ups and downs, is just worth sharing. And people, especially when it comes to love, are so entitled, are so honest, criminal with the way we handle something as beautiful as love and as delicate as sharing a life. And I think people need to just remember that, because we expect love to just happen to us. We expect that we deserve the best kind of love, even though we've done nothing to cater to it, to nurture it, to feed it, to give it what it deserves, because God, love, one and the same, bro. And you know, I just wanted to give him a little shout out, because he said something that kind of just hit me and gave me the little, you know, when you get the goosebumps.
That's beautiful.
So it's just that. Anyway, thank you guys so much. Inshallah, next episode, Dad will be back, and then the one after Afaf, and then the one after Dad, and then the one after Afaf. And I love you guys. Oh, I will also say one last thing. My followers, when I was sick, y'all sent me some great things. I got some prayers. I got so many messages. And just, I see you. I hear you, all of you. If I don't have time to get back to all of you, I'm so sorry. I was kind of dying in bed. But you're seen is what I'm trying to say. And appreciated.
All right, guys.
All right. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Assalamu alaikum.
Peace out.